friends. This is Christine Hoofer from GraceCoversMe.com, and I want to welcome you to the By Faith podcast, where each week this season, I'm talking with a guest about the ins and outs of friendship. As I wrote about in my book, Messy, Beautiful Friendship, friendship isn't easy for anyone. It takes time, intentionality, and lots of grace. And sometimes we have to navigate complexities and hurts in friendship that leave us uncertain and even crushed. I'm right there with you, and my guests are here to help us think through it all. Have you ever asked yourself, as a Christian, is it ever okay if I walk away from a friendship? I certainly have asked that question, and it's one that many women have asked me, because friendship can get really messy sometimes, and I think we all want an out when it gets hard. But is it ever okay? I put that question and several others to my guest today, author and Bible teacher, Jen Wilkin. Jen is a wife and mom of four. If you haven't done one of her Bible studies yet, I would highly recommend them to you. I've done several, and each have been so helpful in taking me further in my understanding of who God is and how to study the Bible myself. Jen and I talk about how friendship has been hard for her, about asking for help from friends, and what women do that hinders the very friendship they long for. You need to know that I actually recorded this conversation with Jen when I was preparing to launch my book, Messy, Beautiful Friendship, which was over a year ago. She says in our conversation that her book, In His Image, is not out yet, but I have good news for you. It is out, and it is a great book. She also mentions her Genesis study, which is also out and available for you. You should definitely grab a copy of each of those today. In addition, she talks about having a year left with her youngest son at home, but she is now an official empty nester. Time goes really quickly, and I cannot believe it. Okay, friends, let's get to it. Here is my conversation with Jen Wilkin. Thank you so much for joining me. It's such a treat to me to get to talk to you about these things today.
I'm glad to get to help.
You're one of my favorite authors, so I just want to introduce, I'm going to introduce you a little, and then I want to hear from you in more details, but you're one of my favorite authors, Jen, and I loved reading your Women in the Word and your None Like Him book, but I think my favorites from you are your Bible studies. I have done many of them, and I'm excited about the one you're currently working on, Genesis. You're teaching.
Yes.
So I can't wait for that to come out so I can do that one too.
Yeah, I'm ready for it to come out. Everybody keeps asking about it. And I'm like, hold on, people. It's coming, I promise.
In process. Well, tell me a little bit about you for anybody listening who's not familiar with you or your work. Tell us what you do and who you are, your family too.
Yeah, I'm married to Jeff. We've been married for almost 24 years, which is kind of hard to believe. And we really like each other. And we have... four kids. We're about to have a bunch of birthdays, but they're currently 20, 19, 18, and 16. So I have one still at home and I'm totally fine. It's not hard at all. I'm totally doing fine with it. And then I speak and write and teach. I mean, if I were defining myself, my primary definition for what I do would just be Bible teacher. I'm a contender for Bible literacy in the church. I think we need it, and a lot of us don't even know that we don't have it. And so I'm just chipping away one book at a time at helping women gain access to the scriptures in a way that maybe they haven't had before.
I'm so thankful for that. I get to recommend, or I do recommend, your Bible studies to the women in our church all the time, and they are loving them as well. So
I'm
really appreciate what you do. But also speaking, I've really enjoyed getting to hear you speak. And last year I was at the Gospel Coalition Women's Conference when you spoke, and I loved your alien child talk. But it's funny, I wanted to tell you this. I didn't get a chance to talk to you at that conference, but I brought a friend with me, and she looks almost exactly like you. And so I feel like I know you because she's one of my best friends. And every time I look at her, I look at you, I think of her. But when we were walking around the conference, we got stopped multiple times by people wanting to ask her questions about the talk she gave and thanking her for her ministry. I mean, it was pretty funny. After a while, she said, I'm starting to get a little freaked out because everywhere I go, people are looking at me like I'm Jen Wilkins. So
I hope she said, "You're welcome."
Well, at first it was funny, and then after a while, I think she was starting to feel a little bit like, this is strange, and Jen Wilkins is going to think I'm, like, trying to, you know, be her or something. I don't know. But anyway. Well, I wanted to talk with you today about friendship, and I think it is one of the most – it's a complex issue
right. For
women. I think we think it should be easy, and it's really not, and there's so many complexities to adult friendship. And so, even trying to sit down and write a book on that, I thought to myself, I'm one perspective,
yeah. And
I can speak from my experience, and I can say, this is what the Bible gives us instruction about friendship. But really, there's so much that other people could bring into the conversation. So I just wanted to talk with you today about friendship and hear your perspectives. First question is, do you think that's true? Do you think friendship is hard? Has it been hard for you? And if so, how?
Yeah, friendship, I don't know. It's like it's either really easy and natural or it's really hard. And it kind of depends. And it depends, I think, on the length of the friendship, because I think that if you are friends with someone long enough, you're going to hit a rough patch at some point. And it can be a surprise, you know, like you've been friends with someone for 10 years and all of a sudden something comes along, either because they've had something come up in their life or you've had something come up in your life. But yeah, it's hard because it's just hard to be in relationship with anyone. And even if it's someone that you really like, there's the more, I think sometimes the more that we like someone and grow comfortable with someone, the more we give ourselves permission to be bothered by whatever their issues are instead of becoming more gracious with them.
Yeah,
so,
that's
yeah.
Totally true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think friendship can be hard, and I think it's always good for us to remind ourselves that if we're bearing with them in some weakness, that they are probably doing the same for us.
Yes, exactly. Well, would you share with us maybe some of the biggest mistakes you've made in adulthood?
No, I really don't want to. Yeah, I have some very long-suffering friends. I have historically had a pretty sharp tongue, and have had to outgrow that in adulthood. And so I would say that the friends who have known me the longest have some memories of early years of friendship where I was probably not as sensitive as I could have been with my words. And thankfully, they stuck with me and gave me grace and came to me and said, hey, when you said this, it really hurt me. And I began to realize that if I could be that hurtful to the people who I was closest to and valued the most, then what on earth must I be doing to the people who I wasn't that close to? So because of their patience with me, I think it helped me develop a better IQ around how my speech was hitting the people who I only knew casually. But it was painful, but you know, you'd rather hear that from someone who cares about you and isn't going to run away. Mm-hmm.
So did you have friends who confronted you about that
yeah. And
really brought mm-hmm. those things to you?
Yeah. Yeah. And there were some times where I knew I'd done it, you know, and I had to go back and say I was sorry. And then there were times where I had no idea. I grew up with four brothers and I was used to defending myself with my words because I couldn't defend myself with my fists, right? Not like they were punching me, but you get my point. Like
right. They
had physical dominance. And so the way that you learn, I think, to survive with all of that is you become verbally adept. And women don't really gravitate towards the sharp retort the way that my brothers did. So I had to learn that I was just unintentionally, I had learned a pattern of communication that was not going to be well received by not just women, but by people in general. And mm-hmm. it's I had to unlearn some things. And so I'm really thankful that some of these friends that I've known the longest were patient to let me go through that process and were able to, I think, in some cases even say, hey, what you said was hurtful. I'm not going to let it hurt me like it might have if I didn't know this was your problem.
Mm-hmm.
But also just be aware you're still having trouble with this. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think I found in adult friendship, excuse me, that it takes so much intentionality.
Mm-hmm.
That it doesn't just happen because life is so busy. And, you know, Tim Keller says that friendship really gets put on the back burner. Our culture mm-hmm. puts it there because we're so busy and other things take precedence. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if there, you can look back and see specific things that you've done to be intentional about starting a friendship, growing a friendship.
Well, I think when I think about my longest friendships, one of the things that made them so deep, like the thing that has made them endure across decades at this point, was that we all met at a stage of life where we were all living in a city where we didn't have immediate family. And so we prioritized our friendships because we became almost like surrogate family for one another. And so, like, if I needed someone to watch my kids so I could go to the doctor, I couldn't call my mother. She was 7 hours away. But we all had this group of friends who were willing to step in and help each other no matter what was going on and what the crisis was. And now, as I've gotten older and we have moved closer to family, I can feel how I've chosen to put other things in front of those friendships if I'm not careful. And it does take more of a conscious effort to say, no, these are the people who I've set everything aside for at other times in my life and not regretted it at all. And I think that combines with my personality is not to seek out friendships. I could hang out by myself alone all day long, and I have to remind myself, hey, you're turning into a cave troll. Go out and have coffee with someone, you know? So I think I have to sort of push against that tendency. And in addition to all of the other, you know, the sort of surface friendships that we have in this virtual sort of social media time that we're in, where we tell ourselves, oh, no, those are my friends. And it's like, I mean, they are your friends, but they're not the friends who are going to show up in the hospital when something goes wrong. They're not the friends who are going to help you when the real crisis hits, because that's just not what those friendships are meant to carry. So yeah, I do think we have to constantly push back against a tendency to marginalize the time that we might have set aside to keep those friendships healthy.
Mm-hmm. Whenever you're talking about asking for help from a friend with your kids, I think that even that sometimes is hard for women to say, to call someone up and say, I need help. I can't do it all on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I see that a lot with the young women in our church, and just being afraid to be vulnerable and saying,
yeah,
I need somebody. Do you have any encouragement you would say to women who are afraid to lay their needs out to other women?
I have never regretted expressing vulnerability in a friendship after the fact. It doesn't mean that I was happy about doing it at the time. And it doesn't mean that sometimes you express vulnerability and you are rejected. I mean, sometimes you are. But it's still worth it. Because one of the issues that I see a lot of times when friendships get weird is when you lose this balance and one person feels like they have more needs than someone else in the relationship. And so anytime that I've ever expressed vulnerability, it has helped my friends see me as human, because I think I put off this thing where, like, oh, what, I'm good, I got it all together.
Yeah.
And so anytime I'm able to say, hey, I'm falling apart over here, it helps them to go, yeah, we're all in the same place. And so it's been really good. And I think the Lord actually created the perfect storm for me with this, with having, we had 4 kids in 4 years. So it was so clear to me when the kids were little in particular that it was not even safe for us to be out in public, you know, with just one adult and these 4 little kids. And I so remember my sweet friend saying, hey, we're all going to the pool today. Do you want to come? And I just said, I cannot go. I cannot be at the pool with 4 small children. I will not come home with all 4. And they were so sweet. They were like, listen, Dana's going to look after this one, and Kendra's going to look after this one, and Lori's going to look after this one, and you just keep your eyes on the baby. And so I'd be like, oh, you guys just allowed me to go somewhere, and I needed that. Otherwise, I was going to be trapped at home. And they were so sweet to help me sort of re-enter life. And it was good, I think, for all of us, for them to see there was no possible way that I could present myself as more capable than I was with all those little babies. So the Lord knew what I needed.
Yeah, and I love that, too, because I think a lot of times we think, well, who's going to do that for me?
Right.
You know, like, if I put my need out there, who's really going to fill it? But I think it really is helpful for us to think the other way of, how can I do that for somebody else?
Absolutely.
Because that really invites friendship to say, hey, you may not have voiced this need, but I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And let me do this for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, like, I think when we think that way, of how we can bless other people, it really kind of turns back on us sometimes, not always, but
not always, right?
At least it's an invitation.
Well, and I think if the friendship endures long enough, it will come, it will turn back on you. And I think, you know, I have a friend who I've been friends with for years who's had a lot of hardship. And she expressed to me at one point sort of something along the lines of, I don't know why you stay friends with me, because I just feel like I need so much help. And I could tell that she had forgotten the times that she had been a help to me, but I certainly hadn't. You know, so we got to sit there and I said, but remember when you did this for me, and remember when you did this for me, and remember when you did this for me. I don't look at this relationship and see it as imbalanced at all. And so I think, you know, the friendships that endure, there will be a chance for those things to all circle back around. Of course, you don't do them as though you're storing up sort of like these credits against when you have your bad day.
Right.
We reach out and offer to help because that's what it means to be a follower of Christ, right? We're
exactly.
looking like him. But over time, I think you find that you even if you're the one who maybe initiates that eventually you're going to be the one who's in need of it. And in Christian community, it comes back your direction.
Mm. That's right. That's really good. Well, what, you know, you probably get to talk to a lot of women in teaching Bible study and doing what you do at the Village. What do you see that women are doing that are hindering themselves when it comes to relationships and friendships with other women?
I mean, I think I see a lot of the things that are probably typical to female relationships. I think that there can be a temptation to want to control a friendship, to want to be the one who calls the shots. And then I think on the flip side of that, there's the friend who's thinking, I feel controlled and I don't know what to do about that. Like, I feel like I'm on eggshells because she might get her feelings hurt, or I feel like I was supposed to read her mind about something. And so I think that women can get into patterns where there's always a subtext to what they're saying. And one of the most helpful things that we can do for each other, one of the most loving things we can do for each other, is be forthright in what we're really thinking and feeling, even if we think that we're going to risk rejection. And to say, like my friends faithfully did to me, to come and just say, it hurt my feelings when you said this, and try to express whatever the conflict is in a way that doesn't throw it all on the other person. It says, here's how I perceived what happened. And try to have a conversation that isn't a battle, but that it is working toward resolving what the conflict is. I think we tend to, women love consensus and collaboration, and anything that threatens those, we tend to avoid. And I think it shows up in our friendships as well. And way better to address something early on than to let it sit there for 5 years and then have an explosion over it. And so,
yeah. So how would you... I think I see the same things. I see it in myself too.
Right.
When somebody rubs me the wrong way, or I don't totally understand that person or their personality, mm-hmm. their perspective, I kind of want to avoid.
Yeah.
And I actually write in my book about a relationship I had with my neighbor where I just did not understand her, and over time I just wanted to avoid her, and I did, to the point of hurting her.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard to know how to address that, like what you just said and what your friend did. Most women, that's super scary, and
yeah,
they don't want to do that at all. How can we in relationship go to other women and what the Bible says, faithfully wound our friends when
right.
we see things in their life that we know the Holy Spirit is leading us to address.
Yeah.
Or a hurt that we've felt. How do we do that in a biblical, honoring way for
well,
one another?
I think a good advice that I've taken has been to bounce it off of another trusted person, someone who can help you hear how your words will hit the person that you're going to talk to. And then I always think it's a good idea, if you're going to have a difficult conversation, to try to write it out first. Hmm. I don't necessarily think it's great to walk into a conversation like that with a page of notes, but sometimes it doesn't hurt. You know, if there's a lot at stake and you want to make sure that you don't wander off script, so to speak, too much to the point that you might unintentionally make the situation worse, then it might be a really good idea to walk in and say, I brought this written down because I want to be really careful to not hurt you with what I'm saying. My intention is not to hurt. I'm here because I value the friendship. And so I think if you have an older person you can go to and say, hey, here's what's going on in my relationship. Can you help me figure out how to navigate this? Someone who loves God, loves the scriptures, and can help sort of pinpoint what your unique problem is, and maybe even call you out on what your unique contribution is to it. Because, you know, anytime you're going to confront something difficult, there is rarely a time where there isn't some element of it that you have contributed to. And so it's really important, obviously, to acknowledge that as you're addressing whatever the concern is you want to address with the other person. And sometimes having another set of eyes on that relationship can help you sort through what you need to own that's yours and what you need to ask for help with the other person.
So how do you know the difference between a time when you need to overlook an offense and when you do need to address it?
Yeah, for me, I think the question becomes, how much is this controlling my response? So, like, it may be that I can say, okay, well, you know, she has a problem with getting offended when this happens. And then maybe it's the kind of thing where her getting offended and she has a sniping comment about it. You know, okay, well, so maybe I can bear with that. But if it happens repeatedly and then I find that I'm avoiding responding to it, I think that's when it becomes a question of, okay, now my behavior is changing to accommodate whatever her particular issue is, then that's not a friendship, right? That becomes more of a bullying situation, and bullying's not a healthy environment to live in, kids. So you have to stand up for yourself. And, you know, a person who has patterns of manipulation and control will respond one of two ways when confronted. They will either cut bait because the relationship is clearly going to be too hard to maintain because they know their patterns, or they're going to work to try to stop it. And either way, this is a hard thing for us women, either way, you're better off for having confronted it.
That's good. But do you think there are times when, this was a question I asked myself when I was going through that difficult friendship relationship where I was looking for any, I think, excuse at the time. Mm-hmm. To say, I can walk away from this.
Yeah,
I don't need to address this. I don't need to continue this relationship. And it wasn't a relationship where there were things that I was doing to contribute. There were things that she would say she was doing to contribute. But that sense of wanting to run away and avoid, I was looking for a way out to not have to deal with it. But do you ever think there are times where it's the biblical response, the right response, to walk away from a relationship?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I do. And I think, you know, it's a tough thing for us to talk about in the church because we feel like, how could a Christian ever abandon someone they've called a friend? But we know that there are some friendships that are more destructive than they are edifying. And so, you know, what are the hallmarks of those relationships? Again, it's when someone is not looking for friendship, they're looking for control. And whether that's from some, you know, passive aggressive behaviors or just flat out aggressive behaviors. And in any other context, we would call that out as unhealthy. But in the church, we're like, no, bear with them, bear with them. And you should bear with them to the point that you recognize this is bad for my soul to be around you. And at that point, you don't have to say, I will no longer be friends with you, but you can just begin to build space into that relationship and see how that person responds. And, you know, it doesn't have to be like a, I'm done with you kind of thing. But I do think that there are legitimate times to build space into relationships for not just your health. Because I think what we miss is we think, okay, well, I'm just doing this for selfish reasons. And you may be. Again, you got to examine your motives, right? Like if you're just trying to get out of something because you don't want to deal with the hard stuff, this message is not for you that I'm giving. However, if you've earnestly tried to salvage this relationship and it continues to be something that is life-sucking, then I think you have to reach a point where you put boundaries around it that either restore it to health or bring it to its natural conclusion. And I think what we miss is we think, I'm doing what's best for me if I set up boundaries. But the reality is you're doing what's best for both of you. You're actually behaving in a manner that is Christ-like because you don't want to become the person who enables all of these manipulative negative behaviors in another person because you've been passive about it.
Yeah, the way I have come to think of it is if this person is trying to set me up as their Christ, that I can meet every need and be that savior to them and always, you know, everything that Jesus is, omnipresent and all knowing and having the exact right response all the time, then that is when it becomes dangerous.
Right.
You know, and I can't play that role for them.
Yeah.
So I can honor them. But like you said, putting a little distance in there, and that really will hopefully give them the space to consider, are they trusting God? Are they looking to Him? Or are they looking to other people to meet that need?
Exactly.
So how can we prepare for when friends come to us with those faithful wounds? Because, you know, like you described earlier, when your friend came to you, are there things that we can do to prepare ourselves to receive that well?
Boy, I don't know. I want to say yes. I mean, you know, if you're trying to develop the virtue of humility, then hopefully you're going to be more ready to receive those words than the person who is not concerned with developing the virtue of humility. But I do think that those conversations tend to catch us off guard.
Yeah.
Because if we knew that we were doing something awful to someone else, certainly we would not set out to do it. Most of us are not diabolical, waking up in the morning trying to figure out ways to wreck other people's lives. And so when I think back on the history of those conversations happening, there have been a handful of times where I've been like, yeah, I knew that was coming. But if I know I've offended someone, I'm probably going to go and ask for their forgiveness. So it's when they come and you don't see it coming. So I think you do have to sort of have repeated in your head and prayed to the Lord that when those moments come, you will handle them. You will receive the critique with grace. I think the hard part can be that then you have a tape playing in your head of this is who I am, this is who I am, this is who I am. I hurt people in this way, especially if you've heard the same kind of hard word from multiple people on multiple occasions. So I think there is an element of hearing what they have to say, responding graciously, owning what you have to own, but then going to the Lord and asking forgiveness and trusting that He knew this sin was in you. He knows how many more times you'll commit it before you die, and He loves you. And so then I think we can, there is some self-forgiveness that we have to practice on the other side of a conversation like that. But in terms of preparing for it, yeah, I don't know. I think it's hard to be prepared. I think if we could be prepared for it, it wouldn't be a hard conversation.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I think I have had to tell myself, okay, when this does come, don't be defensive, because that's my typical response.
Absolutely.
Just to listen and receive it. And then I'll have time to think about it later and pray about it. No. Okay. What is the truth here? And God will help me work through that.
And that's a good word too, because I think when someone confronts you on something, you think, oh my gosh, we have to resolve this while we're sitting here today. Mm-hmm. Because I don't like conflict. I want consensus and collaboration. And sometimes when someone comes to you with something difficult, it's okay to hear them out and then say, will you give me some time to think about this? And then I'd like to get back together and talk about it again. And that way you can have a more measured response. If there's something that you need to go back and say, hey, I can own all of this, but can we talk about this piece over here? That's a, you know, an easier way to do that than when you're in the moment. I think a lot of times, like I think about my parenting mistakes, most of them happened because it was in the heat of conflict. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to friendships, I think that's an important thing for me to remember as well, that when our emotions are really heightened, that maybe it's not the best time to sort the whole thing out. Maybe it's good to hear someone's complaint against me or concern about me and say, can you give me a little time to think about this? And then let's circle back.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Thank you so much for all of your wisdom. I just really enjoyed talking with you.
Oh, I loved getting to talk to you too. I can't wait to read the book.
I'm going to send you one.
Are you going to solve all my friendship issues?
Yeah.
Because that's the book I want to buy.
Exactly. Because friendship is so easy. It's just
so easy.
Step one, two, and three. And it's like a vending machine. You just stick it in and then out comes a friend, a good friend.
Yeah.
My
study's the same way. Clearly we have the same philosophy on writing books.
Are you working on anything currently? Any other new things coming out?
Yeah, actually, I'm working on a follow-up to None Like Him. We covered the incommunicable attributes in None Like Him, the ways God is not like us. And so I am writing a book, somewhat unsurprisingly, on the ways that we can take on the character of God.
That's great. When will that be out? Do you know?
It is supposed to release, I think, March of 2018, March or April.
Okay. I don't know how you do all the things you do. Teaching each week.
Yeah.
Writing Bible studies.
Yeah, my house is falling down around me, and my personal relationships are in shambles. No, I'm kidding. They're fine.
And does your fourth child graduate from high school this year?
In 2018.
Okay, yes, so another year.
So, yeah. Oh. You'll know because there will be, like, audible sobbing coming from my house. And every time I teach, I'll be like, and then he left me. Yeah, so.
I can't even imagine being at that point, but you give me hope.
It comes on you fast. Everybody always said, oh, it goes by so fast. And I'm like, really? Because it doesn't feel like that today. And sure enough, they just all of a sudden, they just go. And they're ready. Everybody's ready for it. But it's a strange sensation for sure.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Jen. It was great to talk with you.
Glad to have the conversation.
Things before you go, friends. Every Wednesday, the day after By Faith releases, I jump on Instagram stories to answer questions from the week's episode. What do you want to know or to talk about after listening to Jen? Find me on Instagram at ChristineHoover98 and let's chat about it. Also, if you're enjoying these conversations, I would appreciate it if you'd help me spread the word about By Faith. Leaving a review on iTunes helps with that, but what helps most is simply word of mouth. Let your friends know about this season discussing friendship and invite them along. Finally, this podcast is made possible by generous listeners who support me through Patreon. If you would like to help me continue in this work, simply click through the link in the show notes to find out how you can do so. Join me next week as I talk with Jamie Ivey. You may know Jamie from her wildly popular podcast, The Happy Hour. She is also a pastor's wife, a mama, an author, and just plain fun to talk to. You won't want to miss our chat when I turn the microphone around on her. Meet me back here next week, and until then, friends, keep walking forward by faith. Thank you.